TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. Enjoy more of the things you love with TCL.
Hockey. Yeah.
My favorite.
It's Judd's Hockey Show.
It's like he's from a different generation. You know, kind of his personality, his jokes, his way around the room. You can kind of tell he grew up in an NHL locker room with an NHL dad and mom. And it's just different. And I think it's kind of he knows when to have a good time and he knows when to, you know, there's no BS.
Sounds like me.
And he's not afraid to call people on things and he plays an honest game and he's an honest person. So we love having him around.
Wild GM. Bill Guerin talking about Marcus Foligno and the contract extension that Foligno signed on Tuesday. We are recording this on Wednesday. We have a lot to get to, including Wild and NHL predictions. Season kicks off on Wednesday today, and the Wild will begin its season at 9 o'clock against the Kings on Thursday. Declan, it's finally back. We finally have, at least starting off, God willing we get through it,
right.
The National Hockey League 56-game season has arrived.
Finally, hockey is here in a truncated form, and I don't care. And also, I'm cool with 56 games. We've been trying to get the NHL to get the number of games down for years.
We had
this discussion, a couple weeks ago?
I love this. We're going to have games that from game one, when teams start today, are going to be meaningful. And because it's going to all be in division games, we're going to have some true bad blood and hate. It's going to be fantastic. It's going to be fun. There is no fault for playing through a pandemic that I find with this. Baseball, I thought 60 was not enough.
Yeah.
Like I thought play 100 or something, right? No complaints here. Zero complaints.
I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm ready for hockey.
Marcus Foligno, 3 years, $9.3 million, which is a slight raise.
Yeah.
From the contract that he is currently playing under. And by the way, he will complete the last year of his contract this year, and then this contract extension kicks in next season. An average annual value of $3.1 million. This is a guy who I think we both agreed had a very good chance before Jared Spurgeon was named captain of the Wild to be captain. He is not a star player, but he is a really hardworking third-line wing who, as Bill Guerin said, reminds you of a player from a different era as far as the size and physicality and, if he needs to, willingness to fight as well.
Mm-hmm.
I like this. And in fact, this only emboldens my thought that if you knew that he was going to sign before the season started, it further takes me down the road of, I think this guy would have been a hell of a choice to be your captain.
Yeah, and we made our case that he could have made a very good captain for the Wild, and I know some people are maybe thinking, whoa, 3.1, and it's also his salary is kind of truncated. It's a little different. He actually saves a little bit money of this year, or he only gets like a $900,000 bump for this season. Mm-hmm. Russo had this report in his contract breakdown, and it just goes slightly up over the next 2 years, and with escrow, that's actually a good thing to have happen. So in 3 years from now, you would hope, God willing, that finances and things as we get back to normal 3 years from now from financial standpoint, that his contract hit really won't be that big of a deal. Yes, he's a bottom six forward, and this is a very classic old school Chuck Fletcher move of criticism of what you're really going to give a multi-year contract to a bottom six guy. But I think Marcus Foligno earns this contract. He also is someone who is a big part of that room. Bill Guerin thinks the world of him. This was a good sign by the Wild, and I'm glad he's locked up. It makes things a little more complicated in the expansion draft, but also that's the case, man.
Who's like, protected now?
Well, I think you're going to have to go away from the 6-3-1 model, and now you're going to have to do the 8 total skaters.
Yeah,
because basically,
well, this depends on one player though. Dumba,
and like, look, you're going to lose someone of importance again. Like, there's no getting around it. Unless you want to make a backdoor trade again, and do you want to make a backdoor trade again? Hell no. So this is a good issue for the Wild to have. And I love Foligno's quote too, said that good. If I want to make a case, I'm paraphrasing here, but I want to make a case for them to keep me and not expose me. And I want that challenge.
So I bet they're going to expose
this
guy.
I'd love to hear that.
I bet they're going to keep him, protect Foligno. And unless his play and attitude picks up a ton, Jordan Greenway
is
gone.
Yeah, Greenway is going to be the one they would want to get taken.
Yes.
And also,
and you know what? Expansion team-wise, he's fine.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, unless Greenway, if Greenway comes back and plays like Foligno did in year two here, because his first year when he got traded from Buffalo to here was not great.
Yeah,
I was not impressed.
Yeah.
But he came back in year two and really, really changed, I thought, his approach to the game and how he played. If Greenway drastically changes things, then he does get protected. But I think as we sit here right now, if you had to draw up the list, Dumba still on the roster, I think the guy that they would dangle the most in hopes of being taken is Jordan Greenway.
I agree, man. I think he's probably going to he has the most to prove, and I'm really glad we're doing wild season predictions because we're going to have things to talk about.
Actually,
here.
You know what? We should do this at least once every couple of weeks during the course of the 2021 season decks, protected lists, and just change them.
Yeah.
Because they're going to change.
Right. Kind of like what we did this on Mackey and Judd with the playoff rotation.
Yes.
Yeah, remember we were always
our protected list. Eat our protected list every other week.
All right. I love it. On air reading. I like that.
Because if Greenway comes back and plays hard and plays well,
right,
he's protected for sure.
Right.
I'm just saying right now, in my opinion, he's not.
I agree.
All right. Season predictions, both league-wide and wild.
Yes.
Let's start with this. The 1 year West Division, which involves the likes of the three California teams, which last year were awful. It involves the Coyotes, the Blues, Golden Knights, the Stanley Cup favorite with a lot of people, Avalanche and Wild. You go first. Give me your top to bottom order of prediction on the West Division.
Top to bottom. Should I do my normal moniker here? Do you want me to go from the top? Or should I work my way?
Go from the top this time.
Go from the top?
Yeah, because by the end, it's just ugly.
You're right. Actually, you're totally right there.
It's just ugly.
Because the bottom three teams are interchangeable. Like, it's just one, two, three.
You just don't care,
right?
Do you?
Yeah. All right. Actually, Judd, my pick out of the West this year isn't necessarily the favorite. They could win this division, but I'm going with Vegas. I think Vegas does win this division.
Hmm.
I like Colorado, and they deserve every right to be in the mix there. Vegas was my pick to win it all last year.
I remember.
I really like what they've been doing ever since they got into the league. And I think now that they have the stability and they know what they're doing in the back end of their net, I think that's going to be big for them. I think just in general, they're the most well-rounded and put-together team in the NHL. I really think so.
You love them.
I love them. I'm a big fan of Vegas Golden Knights. Our friend Lindsey Brown, former friend and colleague of Judd's Hockey Show, down there doing a great job covering the Golden Knights in Las Vegas. I'm sure if we ever wanted to talk more about it, you know, Linz would always be game to hop on and talk some Knights or some puck with us. So
absolutely.
I have the Golden Knights winning this division. I think they're my number one.
Okay.
Should I continue down the list?
Yeah.
Okay.
Keep going.
Second is the Colorado Avalanche. Second is the Avs. Yeah. I mean, you'd be foolish not to put them as one or two. And I think most people, if you pulled them, I think over 50% would put the Avs to win it, but it's not, you know, over 55 or 60%. I think a lot of people can make a case that Vegas can still win this division and has every right to do so. Colorado's sweet up top. I still have some questions in that net. I just don't know if Colorado has the goaltending horses to do it. Their
Agreed.
Defense is damn good. Cal McCarr's awesome. But I have questions in net. And I think that's the one hinge that I can't really get all in on them being a Stanley Cup favorite yet.
Fair enough.
My third team, the Minnesota Wild. I had the Minnesota Wild finishing in third place in the Western.
Oh, my God. What are you doing?
In this West division, what? Judd. I have the. I decided, you know what? Screw
Did
it.
You get COVID again and
Not, well,
have
COVID,
a very
COVID
high fever right now?
Oh, okay. I can see where you go
Did
there.
You get a very high fever going?
No. I think St. Louis is coming down a little bit. I think the Blues are coming down to earth. Coming down to earth hard. What the hell happened to Jordan Binnington last year? What the hell was that? And maybe
yeah,
it was just a weird thing.
Yeah.
Maybe it was just a weird bugaboo.
Yeah.
Goalies are the weirdest people in position in the world.
The Wild is still not there.
Oh, like
they're still not. Like if they had a center, I might be on this bandwagon with you.
Sure.
Wow.
Okay. I really think weird things are going to happen. And oh, there it is. Here we go. All right, officer.
Hot Take Cops is recorded on location with the men and women of Sports Talk. All suspects are innocent until proven guilty in Hot Take Court.
All right, I'll explain myself.
Okay.
I'll explain myself a little bit more. Go into a little bit more detail.
It's a pursuit.
Yeah.
You're not pulling over.
You'll never take me alive.
You're not pulling over.
Call the police.
All right, explain
yourself.
But
not for me.
Explain yourself thoroughly here.
Sure. I think the Wild's young talent in Kevin Fiala and Kirill Kaprizov are going to take the next step. I think they have the best defensive core in the league. And Cam Talbot, I'm not expecting to be a Vezina candidate. But here's the thing, people. And I know a lot of people are ragging Cam Talbot for the contract. And, oh, is he really the number one guy? He really has one season of a really good body of work. Outside of that, he's been an average goaltender. That's exactly what I'm looking for. An average goaltender after what has happened to the Wild last year. The statistics and the analytics say it was the goaltending that was holding the Wild back last year. The Wild were overachieving despite horrible play in goaltending. And we did this, I showed you this exercise 2 or 3 months ago. The Wild's goaltending is going to be better next year. I don't see any scenario where it's the exact same.
You did tell me that last
year.
So
if they are league average, if Cam Talbot goes, you know, let's say he wins 20 games and he has a 2.5 GAA and a 9.08 save percentage, 9.10 save percentage,
gotta be
that's
going to
be infinitely better, and the Wild will be already a better team.
Okay.
Yes, the biggest question here is down the middle. That is the biggest question mark, and the most important part of your offense right now is down the middle.
Yeah, Nick Bukestad does not do. God bless him. He doesn't do it.
God
for
bless
me.
Nick Bonino and Joel Eriksson.
Third line guy.
But
ideally.
I understand. And hey, you know what? Things going to get crazy. Things can get crazy.
All right.
There's
so
still
you got the Wild
deadline.
Third.
I have the Wild third.
Okay.
I have the Wild third.
They're your predictions.
They are mine.
Just
these
don't forget that we need to save them.
Yep. Old takes exposed. Old tweets exposed. You can come at me. Yep. It's a lot of people do still to this day for current and old takes. So totally fine.
Fair enough. Who's your fourth team? St. Louis?
St. Louis. Okay. The St. Louis Blues. I still think they'll be one of those teams that does get in. They're still a good team. I think they're going to come down to earth just a tad. So I have them coming down to fourth.
If Binnington bounces back, which I think he should, and I guess their backup goaltender now that Jake Allen's been traded to Montreal, I guess he's pretty good. And the Mike Hoffman contract, because he came to training camp on a PTO.
Yep.
He can score.
Yep.
And be on the power play. That's where I'm intrigued by the Blues.
I get it. And so, look, they very well could be one. They should be one of the top three teams in this division. They should be.
If they are fourth, it'll be a major surprise, I think.
Yeah, I agree. So I
all right, and
fourth.
Then after that, we begin to get into the dreck of the West.
And look, I'll have Arizona next, just by default.
Yeah,
I think they're a nice team. I don't think that they have enough. Darcy
Kemper.
They have
a new GM, though, and now is Tockett going to be the guy? It's a very weird, and plus it's a weird franchise.
Yeah, I like Clayton Keller a lot. You know, I like Clayton Keller. I think Phil the Thrill is a couple hot dogs too deep in his career at this point.
Clayton Keller has to bounce back a bit, if I recall correctly, though. I don't think he had a great...
Correct. He's still young. He's a 22-year-old kid. I like what he... Darcy Kemper had a nice season, obviously.
I like some of the stuff they're doing. I'm not sure how stable they are.
Sure. So I have them... that would be fifth.
Okay.
And then... I just went Sharks, Kings, Ducks. Does that party even matter? Like, you know,
no, not unless
California,
one of them.
California.
Well, here's the thing. Can the Sharks bounce back a bit, or can the Kings, who have a ton of young prospects, develop?
My best.
I think the Ducks are definitely a year out.
I feel bad for Gibson, because Gibson's going to, if anything, Gibson will carry them. That'll be like an old school Jacques Lemaire team that literally scores one goal a game and wins 2-1, 1-0.
What if Colorado made a big trade with the Ducks?
I could see that. But of the Sharks, Kings, and Ducks, I think the team that maybe will outperform or who has the best, I think it's San Jose. I think San Jose is going to be that team. I still think there's enough
Vander
talent
Kane.
There. Yeah, Vander Kane. Couture is still,
who's
I love
bankrupt?
Logan Couture. Yeah, dude, what the hell?
How do you go back?
I don't know.
I mean,
I don't know.
It's sad.
I'm not going to try to go there either. But yes, that is my division. So I go Golden Knights, Avs, Wild, Blues, Yotes, Sharks, Kings, Ducks.
All right, fair enough. I will blow through mine. I am going to go my first place team, Avs. I agree with you on goaltending and what Grubauer got hurt, I think, in the outdoor game last year. And I'm not sold that he's great, but I think he can be solid because, as you said, the defensive core in front of him looks like it is fantastic. Here's the incredible thing. The Avs, if I'm not mistaken, have 3 more years of Nathan MacKinnon at an average annual contract of $6.3 million. His AAV is $6.3 million.
That's a bargain.
He's one of the best, if not the best player, top three player in this league.
Right.
You've got Landeskog, your guy, Mikko Rantanen, Makar. The firepower is outlandish. Outlandish. And I think worst case in goal that they've got the collateral to probably go make a trade. yep. before the deadline to get goaltending help if that becomes necessary and if Grubauer struggles. But so I've got Colorado first. I've got your Golden Knights second. They've added some players. Here's the thing. They are lacking at the same place the Wild is a little bit, center.
Sure.
Now, I don't think they're as destitute as the Wild is at this point, but I do have questions about that. The goaltending should be strong. The blue line for sure should be strong. So I've got Vega second. Third, I'm going Blues. I think Binnington bounces back. The Hoffman deal to me is a great contract because they basically get a guy that can score and can play on the power play consistently, probably the top power play all of the time. So the Mike Hoffman contract fell basically into their lap because of teams being up against the salary cap and or not wanting to spend as much. So I've got Colorado, Vegas, the Blues, and then the Wild fourth.
Okay.
And I will say this again. If you're a Wild fan and you start to curse the 9 o'clock starts, look where they could have been. The Central. I will take the West is arguably the worst division that has been assembled for 2021, right?
Yeah.
Like if you if you start to be like, oh man, they're it's another 9 o'clock faceoff. Just be quiet for 1 second. And if you're a Wild fan, count your lucky stars. Because they could very well be the fourth place team, not based on being that great,
yeah,
but based on their division, okay?
This was a gift.
Exactly right.
This was a gift.
Exactly right. So I go Avs, Golden Knights, Blues, Wild, and then I'm with you, I think, completely. Arizona, San Jose, the Kings, and the Ducks. And the Kings intrigue me just a little bit because in the past four drafts, they've had 11 picks in the first and second rounds. So if those kids start to kick in and play well, it could change things. And if Quick plays well in goal, the Sharks, I'm with you on the fact that they've probably, of the three California teams, got the best opportunity right away to be more competitive than we think. But the Sharks sort of bore me. The Kings don't. But yes, being in the West Division for 1 year is a gift.
It is.
You were given a gift. So appreciate that. All right. Next, let's go on to our Wild season predictions.
All right, my friend.
All right. Let's start, and I'll start with this one. The team leader in goals, and I'm not going to give you statistics on assists or points, but I will on this. The team leader in goals for the Wild in 2021 will be Kevin Fiala. And this is actually a conversation, but I'm going to go with Fiala with 22.
All right.
22 goals in 56 games. Kevin Fiala will lead this team in goal scoring.
22 for 22. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
I thought of that, too.
There you go. My turn?
Yep.
All right, yours. Goals. I'm going with the Rook. I'm going with Kaprizov.
See, that's the conversation.
I think Kirill Kaprizov's going to score a lot of goals. I'll put a number on it and say also 22. I think 22 is the fair amount. I don't want to say 25.
Yeah.
That's a lot of goals. Yeah. That's insane. That's a 40-goal pace over 82 games.
That'd be pretty good to see.
I think even with the lack of a true number one center, this kid's just going to have a knack of scoring goals. I really think so. Maybe that might be an old take exposed that comes back of
I think you're right.
I think he has a knack for the net, man.
And I think
he's
you're
got
right.
a howitzer of a shot. We've been hearing about it for years. I think Kirill Kaprizov leads this team in goals.
No, I think that's fair. And I gave this some thought because I think it's going to be close. And this is true for Kaprizov and Fiala, if someone can get them the puck. But here's the thing to keep in mind. Don't sell short the amount of assists and primary assists that these guys could get from the defenseman.
Okay.
So it might not be the center. It might be from the blue line. All right, assists. I am going to go, and I think this guy will play. I think he'll play wing to start the season, but I think he might. I think he's going to end up having to play some center as well. I'm going to go. The Wild leader in assists will be Marcus Johansson.
Interesting,
Marcus Johansson, because I really believe that when they've got Bukestad on the first line, and then you've got Bonino on the second, and Bonino probably more suited for the third. I think at some point in time that despite the fact that Johansson is almost certainly a more effective wing than center, that he's going to have to play the pivot some. So the assist leader for the Minnesota Wild will be Marcus Johansson.
Interesting, interesting. Yeah, I have a take to bring about Marcus Johansson later as we get into our predictions, but that's an interesting one.
I'm trying to figure out, like, could it be a defenseman?
That's where I'm going.
I believe that Suter led them with 40 assists in the truncated season last year, but I thought that might be boring, so I'm trying to throw in a guy who's going to be new to the roster.
Okay. I'm going with Jared Spurgeon, actually. I think Jared Spurgeon will lead this team in assists. He's a little more comfortable now. He's got this captaincy on him. He's got a light, nice long contract. This is a guy that can play all five strengths on the ice. I think Jared Spurgeon is going to be actually the guy who ends up leading the team in points. Suter's probably, I think, your favorite. I just didn't want to say
that's
Suter.
Sort of boring.
Yeah, and it's boring. And we like to bring educated, or not educated, sometimes educated.
Just hot.
But hot. Piping hot, reckless speculation on Judd's Hockey Show, Purple Daily, and Mackie and Judd on Score North. So we're not going to give you the lukewarm stuff.
Reckless speculation.
If you want, If you want the lukewarm stuff, there's other Minnesota Wild podcasts.
Oh, wow. You don't need to do that.
But you could.
That was cheap shot. You don't need to do that.
Cheap-shotting.
You don't need to do that.
No, lukewarm.
Leave our friends alone.
Sometimes you need lukewarm stuff.
I got to see
life.
These people in the press box.
No. And they see us. They know we're friends. They're friends of the show.
You don't know that. You don't know that now.
They're friends of the show.
You just ripped them.
I didn't rip him at all.
Jared Spurgeon.
I get more ripped than anyone.
Jared Spurgeon.
Jared Spurgeon with the lead.
I like it.
What do you got for points?
I think I'm going to go boring here.
Okay.
Zach Parise. He's healthy. He's going to get points. I think that ultimately, if he stays on the first line with Kaprizov, I think Kaprizov's going to take goals away from Zach. But Zach likes to dig, and Zach does work hard, right, for points. And so I think ultimately, I think he's going to pick up the slack assist-wise that probably Bukestad and Bonino can't carry, right? Yeah. So it's pretty boring, but I'll go with Zach for the Wild 2021 leader in points.
I also have Zach.
I couldn't come up with a better one.
Yeah, I think it's probably Parise.
Kaprizov's not going to lead him in points, right?
I don't think Fiala or Kaprizov will tally enough assists to put them in the conversation.
Nor do I want him to necessarily.
And I think Zach is going to still score 15, 20 goals in this season. He's going to get a lot of power play goals. He'll still set up a lot of assists. I think it's Zach. I think that's fine.
All right. Wild MVP. Who is your pick? MVP of this team when the regular season comes to an end after 56 games, Declan.
I think the MVP is going to be Kirill Kaprizov. I think it's going to be Kaprizov. I'm putting the microscope right on him here, man. I think he's going to be everything we hoped and dreamed he would be. I'm excited to see him play. I haven't seen him a second on the ice yet, and I'm hoping to be able to do that.
He's got the moves.
But he can.
I saw him on Friday.
I asked you. I said, "Can the kid skate?" Looks like the dude can.
Yeah,
can skate.
I don't know if I would call him fast. And
sure.
I've seen him once, so
right.
I don't know that if I would call him fast. I would call him incredibly skilled.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, I got you.
The goal that he scored off the stretch pass from Suter, he went in on Kapo Dex, and he literally just basically stopped for a second, and Kapo slid left, and he just tucked it in right. It was nice.
Yeah, he's...
That's skill.
I really think he's going to be the MVP. I really do think so. Like, Cam Talbot, and goaltending is one of these weird positions where he could
that.
Save it.
Yep.
But I think it's going to be Kaprizov. I think it's going to be everything we thought so. And if anything, it's going to be him and Fiala that are going to really propel the Wild into the next step if they're going to take it. So I think it's going to be Kaprizov. What do you got for me?
We were raised with a stick and a pair of blades. On the ice we cut our teeth. We took our knocks in the penalty box. Our mother was a red.
All right. My MVP, if you can see this, I scratched one out. So I had one. I scratched it out.
Okay.
I had Cam Talbot.
Okay.
And I thought, if this team is going to go anywhere, Cam Talbot is going to have to play great. And he is. Don't get me wrong, okay? But then I thought, can I really do this? Like MVP of this team?
Mm-hmm.
Really be Cam Talbot?
Tough. Right.
I scratched it out.
Okay.
I couldn't follow
That's
through
okay.
on it.
That's okay.
My Wild MVP
Okay.
And I'm challenging him. And it's not your guy, Kaprizov, but it's a guy that I think Kaprizov is going to push from a standpoint of, if you can do that, I can do it better.
Yeah.
Kevin Fiala.
Right.
Okay. But here's part of why I'm doing this. The most important thing to me is, from February on, basically of last year, Kevin Fiala showed us who he can be, which is nothing short of a superstar.
Yeah.
The stuff he did was superstar stuff.
Yep.
But then I got to thinking and I thought to myself, Judd, can he be, it's not that he doesn't have the skill set, because we saw the skill set. It's, does he have the ability to find the consistency to be that player almost every night? Because there's going to be games, I'm sure, where they don't go great. But, you know, it's a 56-game season, which I believe is about two-thirds of the ordinary schedule, okay? So you've got a chance here where games on opening night are going to be incredibly important, and every point, since you're playing in the division, is going to be incredibly important. So the opportunity to take nights off really should not exist much, if at all, right?
Yep.
Kevin Fiala to me. So I am challenging him. Kevin. Show us what you did starting in February is you.
Okay.
Because if that's you, your guy, Paul Fenton, robbed the Predators.
Yes.
Just robbed them blind.
I still think he did. Some people don't think that.
But Kevin Fiala to me in 2021 with what he showed us, and you know, pre-Kaprizov, keep in mind that the guy that we saw before the COVID shutdown last year was singly the most talented Wild player since Gavrik.
Easily.
Like, just, yeah. Not
easily.
Not even close.
Not even close.
Keep that up.
Okay.
Show it again and watch what Kaprizov potentially does and say, okay, brother, I'll show you.
So, okay. I know you had top rookie on here. Can we just say it's Kaprizov? Like, is there really another option? Skip over that? I meant to check with you.
Kaprizov is fine.
Because you and I don't compare.
He better
notes.
Be.
Yeah.
He better be the top rookie.
Right.
Okay, so next one.
Yeah, this is a fun one.
Biggest overachiever or rebound from 2019-20 on the Wild roster is?
So for me, the overachiever, and I'm not going to take what he did last year as in like he played poorly. I'm looking at who's going to overachieve? Who's going to take another step forward?
It's all interpretation,
bad thing, right?
My man. All in how you want to interpret it.
For me, it's Joel Eriksson Ek. Ek is going to be my biggest overachiever. I think finally, not only is he a pest, and not only is he a very integral part to what the Wild need to do to shut down an opposing line, and he's a very good penalty killer.
Mm-hmm.
I think eventually this kid's going to figure out a way to score some goals. I'm not saying he's going to be a 15 to 20 goal kind of guy yet, but I think he's going to start having a little bit more offense to his game. And if anyone, because I think the two obvious answers, and I'm pretty sure yours is probably Jordan Greenway, but if those are two dudes who are now lunched together,
mm-hmm.
and both of them need to prove to say that they can take the next step. So Greenway, yes, it'd be nice, but if Ek takes the next step, especially offensively, and we've been looking for a GD center for
how long? He bumps up to second line immediately then, because Bonino can bump down.
My opinion, Joel Eriksson Ek hitting through a glass ceiling, his ceiling is higher than Jordan Greenway's is. Jordan Greenway is a nice power forward, right?
But his ceiling is not top line.
Correct.
It's second line.
Sure.
But if he and Bonino can switch places because of what you just said, that's ideal.
Yep. So I think for me, I have Ek as my biggest overachiever.
Okay. Mine is not Greenway, because I don't know there. Mine is Matthew Dumba.
Oh.
Who did not have a technically what I would call a bad 2019-20 season, but he had a tough one.
Yep.
He shot a ton and nothing went in. He was essentially snake bit. Those pucks to me are going to at some point in time now, and he is what? He is 2 years past the injury that he suffered against Calgary, is that right?
Yeah.
So he's now past that by a lot. I think that took a lot of time to heal as well. So all of that being said, I think he is going to come back and have a year that either gets Bill Guerin to say I can't trade him, or gets the Wild a definitive number one center. One of those two.
I like that.
But I like the kid. I think he works hard. I think he's grown up a ton.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that he definitely was snake bit last season. I think that he comes back now. And he doesn't go on the goal-scoring pace that he was before he got hurt in the fight against Tkachuk. But I do think that he gets to a goal-scoring pace where it's impressive and makes the Wild think long and hard about dealing him. Because
way to put it, yeah.
offensively, if he goes back to being the player that he looked like before he got hurt, Declan, yeah. That's a dynamic offensive defenseman.
Absolutely.
So, Matt Dumba. Biggest disappointment.
Judd, you're not going to want to hear this, I think, because you pegged him to be your assist leader. I think Marcus Johansson is going to be the biggest disappointment on this team.
Oh, this was your hot take.
This was my hotter, my little more bit warmer of a take.
Okay.
He was fun. Like, he was a fun guy in Washington. All right, he scored some goals. He looked good.
Yeah, he's a good winger.
Yeah, he's a good winger.
He's not a good center, really.
And, look, he was playing for the Devils and the Buffalo, as I like to call them, the Sabres, the Sabres for the last 2-3 years, who are putrid organizations right now. This Buffalo might be more intriguing this year, but just regardless,
got Taylor Hall.
The last 2 years, those two franchises have been in the bottom five of every major category and just general interest.
Sure.
He's only scored 22 goals in his last 118 games. 22, that's it. I don't want this to happen. I want him to take the next step. I would love to see him be the player he was in Washington. I just don't know if he fits here. I just don't know. So I think he's going to end up being the biggest disappointment for the Wild.
I think if he's left to his own devices at the wing, he might be fine. Not great, but fine.
Okay.
Unfortunately, I think that they are going to feel the pressure to put him at center, and then I've got question marks.
Yeah.
That one makes sense.
Yeah, look at the little banner we got on. I just did some minor production meeting. You see that little banner on the top of the left screen there? Judd's Hockey Show, the
YouTube
green. Mark, the Spotify, huh?
Oh, you wow. Like that, huh? Oh, if you're watching this, that is technology,
right,
my
there.
Man.
That's next level production.
All right. Biggest disappointment for me is I immediately wrote down Victor Rask, of course.
Right. Oh,
yeah. But I don't count that.
Yeah.
Because of course he is. Of course he's going to be. Mine, second consecutive year, Matt Zuccarello.
Well,
Matt Zuccarello's mine.
But he might not even like play.
Oh, he'll play eventually. And he signed to that damn contract.
Okay.
I'll give you a third one.
Okay.
I'll give you a third one, right. Too. So Rask, automatic.
Sure.
Zuccarello with that contract to me.
Sure. And I just think it's more like
with the cap hit that you incur is still a problem.
Yeah.
But my third one, unfortunately, I'm going to hold the Charlie Coyle rule against him, Jordan Greenway. They've challenged him, but big guys, you can challenge them. It means nothing. Sometimes I don't know that telling a guy to lose weight and take his sport seriously works.
Sure.
See Wiggins, Andrew, you know, so, but when you have to tell a kid, hey, you've got skill. And by the way, throughout the course of your career until now, that skill has carried you a long way. But you know what? These guys are really good.
Yeah.
It always concerns me when you have to conduct a come to Jesus meeting with a player like this. And a guy like Greenway, to reach his ultimate here, has to work his ass off.
Yes, he does.
Like, it's not about his skill.
Yes, he does.
His skill is important, but it's not the key. The key is, do you want it? Mm-hmm. Do you want Charlie Coyle, right?
Yeah.
Like, Charlie Coyle was not about skill. It was like, do you want this? And the answer most nights was, I don't know, right? So all this Rask, Zuccarello, Greenway, because I have real questions.
Okay.
And the other thing is, if he gets off to a good start, because he got a kick in his breezers after the bubble play last year.
Yeah.
Does that mean 10 games in that kick in the breezers is still going to work? I don't know.
I don't know.
Best newcomer not named Kaprizov. How about that for a technicality?
I like that.
Who's your best newcomer, Declan, not named Kirill Kaprizov?
I really like what Nick Bonino, I think, is going to bring to this team. I think, number one, he's a center, so that's a position of need. He seems to have a lot of Foligno in him, so he seems to be a guy who holds people accountable a little bit.
Yep.
Which I also really, really like.
I think he's definitely captain.
Yes. Is he going to be a sexy offensive player? Probably not. But he's been around the block a few times. He was on those Nashville Predators teams who were built a lot like the Wild, in my opinion, the way they tried to peak. And I know they actually made it a Stanley Cup final, but the way they at least were constructed.
Now they got Granlund, too. I mean,
yep.
You got Granlund. You're good.
Yeah, that's right. I think Nick Bonino. I'm really excited to see what he does.
Yep.
He's a second-line center by default right now, but in general, he's more of a third-line guy. I'm excited to see what he does. I think Nick Bonino is going to bring a lot to this team.
Mine, because I think this is probably getting towards the end of his shots here. I think this is probably one of the last ones that he's going to get to play a serious role on a good team. And he's got the skill to do it. And I don't know if he will, but he damn well should. Nick Bjugstad.
Sure.
Nick Bjugstad, because of various injuries last year, played in 13 games total with the Penguins, okay? But Bjugstad, if you go back to his time with Panthers, he definitely has the ability to contribute. He is going to start off tomorrow night on Thursday night against the Kings, Declan, on the first line. You are giving him to his right, Kirill Kaprizov, okay? Who has tons of skill, who might need some help with direction, but I think in game on the ice is absolutely going to be fine.
Yeah.
And damn good. And Parisi, who will work his ass off, is going to be on his left wing. This is a gift. Like if Bjugstad signed with most teams, he'd probably be lucky to be a third line guy right now. The Wild is basically gifting him first line center with two really good players and one incredibly skilled rookie. All right. Who, by the way, is not a kid, because if I'm not mistaken, Kaprizov is 23. Think about this. If Nick Bjugstad does not thrive now, he never will.
Yeah. It's kind of do or die for him at this point in his career. He had a very nice start in Florida. He's had injuries from concussions to back issues, which are obviously pretty significant for a hockey player. He's a big cat. I mean, 6'6". I mean, the guy is humongous. I remember watching him at the U of M when I was at St. Cloud State.
I questioned his desire back then, too. Yeah, that's the thing about it. He's going to have to bring it every night.
So I think that's a very appropriate one. I'm excited to see if he can be a top-line center, because he really shouldn't be.
No.
But on this team, with Fiala on his side and Prosper Parisi, too, yeah, that's, I mean, you're setting yourself up for success there, kid. I like it.
So those are our Wild predictions. Let's move on to our National Hockey League predictions now.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Let's start with this. Who in your mind, Declan, is going to lead the National Hockey League in goals in 2021?
Ready for this one?
Yeah, hell yeah.
Okay. I'm going with Mika Zibanejad.
Oh, the Rangers.
I'm going with them.
Recovering from COVID, I believe.
41 goals last year in 57 games for the Rangers. I mean, the dude was unbelievably talented. I mean, he was good in Ottawa. But ever since he's gotten to the Rangers, he's been just an elite player. Yes, he had COVID. I survived COVID. It's a little bit different if you're a hockey player.
I was going to say, it might wind you a little bit more than it winded you, Declan.
He shoots the puck a ton. Yep. Shooting percentage a little high last year, 19%, not really sustainable. However, the dude has a history of consistently shooting the puck. Last year, even though the shooting percentage was high, Judd, 3.65 shots per game tells me the dude is just rifling shots. Yep. So I love this. So that means, if his shots per game dropped, but his conversion rate was higher, then you can say that, yes, regression is coming. But if he's pounding the net with 3.65 shots per game, that tells me that, no, he's shooting at will and he's converting them, which is good. I'm going with Mika.
I like it.
I think he's going to lead the league in goals.
That's gutsy.
That's it. 71 goals.
That's a gutsy prediction, Declan Goff.
It is. But I think he's going to lead the league in goals.
I'm going to bore you much more than that.
Okay, that's fine. You're boring. I'm not.
Ovi, 32 goals.
All right.
He's still great.
He's awesome. Yeah.
Like, it's unbelievable. But, I mean, he doesn't age.
No.
I think he's improving.
I know.
Like, how are you improving? You're not supposed to improve. This is hockey.
It is pretty impressive, man.
I mean, that shot is a howitzer still.
Yes.
And it can't be stopped.
No.
And on the power play, it's nuts. Who is your National Hockey League leader in points? The Art Ross Trophy.
This one's the lame one, and I think we might be in unison here. I have Dreisaitl. I have Leon Dreisaitl leading
in points.
Yeah.
Oh, we don't agree.
You led the league in points last year, 110 in 71 games. I have another hot Oilers take that I'll bring to the fold here in a little bit. But
don't do it. Why are you doing that?
I think Dreisaitl ends up leading the league. That actually, of all my NHL predictions,
I thought you were going to say McDavid.
Of all my NHL predictions, this Dreisaitl one's probably the most like tame and normal one. I think Leon Dreisaitl leads the league in points. points.
Art Ross Trophy does not go to Draisaitl. It does not go to Connor McDavid. It goes to Nathan MacKinnon.
Okay.
I think he's sitting on a huge year. Okay. I think he is. I think he finally gets it totally now.
Yeah.
He's matured.
Yeah,
like
he
a few years ago, he would just be sort of a punk at times.
I agree with that.
And did things where you're like, dude, you're so good. Don't do that. So I say that the league leader in points is going to be Nathan MacKinnon.
Careful with your love for the Colorado Avalanche. Those Wild fans don't love Colorado too much. Got to be careful with
them. We are both. Declan, we are both big fans of our guy, Gabriel.
I don't understand. It's just
the captain.
It's honestly. And a little different
fan base.
How can you
not like Colorado, man? They're so well built.
Yeah. Like, I understand people that don't like the Packers, but like when the Packers are playing well, what's
wrong
with
that? Oh, you're a Packer
fan. Yeah, I'm a Packer fan. I don't know. That's the thing. That's
fine. You are a Packer.
Except when they play the Vikings.
Go, Pack, go!
That's right.
Hart Trophy, MVP regular season goes to?
I have Connor McDavid. I have McDavid winning the MVP. So I think Draisaitl leads
the league
in points.
I'm waiting for your hot Oilers take.
Yeah,
waiting for your hot Oilers take.
Connor McDavid, man, he's the best bleeping player in the league. He's the best bleeping player in the world. So Connor McDavid definitely wins the MVP. He's the favorite, I think, to win it. So Connor McDavid, McJesus, wins MVP.
I am putting all of my eggs in the Avalanche basket. I'm
of
giving
course.
You Nathan MacKinnon. Nathan MacKinnon will win the Art Ross. He will win the Hart. He is sitting on the precipice of a monster 56-game season.
I dig it.
Nathan MacKinnon, Wild fans. That's right. I said it. Public enemy number one in the X by the end of the season. Stanley Cup finals matchup and champion.
Okay. Here it is. Your Stanley Cup finals matchup.
Don't say the Oilers.
Oilers. The Edmonton Oilers are going to the Stanley Cup.
Okay.
They will play. It gets hotter. They will play the New York Islanders. They will play the New York Oilers.
No, that makes more sense than the Oilers. How could you tell the Oilers?
Oilers, Islanders, Stanley Cup. Oilers, Islanders, Stanley Cup. This is going to be a weird year. Weird things are going to happen.
This is a rematch from 83, 84, 85? Is that right?
I think NHL diehards would love this.
Billy Smith?
The TV execs. They might not mind.
No, they don't want Edmonton.
They don't want Edmonton. New York would obviously be ideal for the executives.
Islanders are fine, but they just don't want the Oilers.
I think the Islanders make a run. I'm really curious what the Islanders do.
Trotz, great coach,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, I love Trotz. I know, you know.
I love that team.
I love how they're built.
I'm with you on them.
I think the Islanders are going to make a run,
man. I'm with you
man.
On them. The Oilers, though, I can't pick them because their defense is still always so damn suspect.
Sure. I get that.
That blue line, I mean, I don't know. The goaltending, I guess, should be improved.
I have the Isles winning the cup. That's who I am.
Wow.
I have the Isles winning the cup over the Oilers. It's going to be a weird, weird
First
situation.
First cup since they won four consecutive in the 80s. Wowza.
I, like you said, I think they're built super. They're built really nicely. Obviously, they have great depth down the middle in Lee and Brock Nelson. Barzell's worth the price of admission. You know, Varlamov, not your best goalie to have there, but I think what Trotz is able to do, creating a system for him to be successful, I like what they do. Maybe they buy a goalie at the deadline. Maybe they get one. But I think they have skill up the middle. They have depth down low. I think the Islanders win the cup, but Judd, your Conn Smythe winner. Your Conn Smythe winner,
yes,
will be Connor McDavid. It'll be one of the rare instances where the opposing team, the losing team, wins the Conn Smythe.
You're off your rocker.
I'm going off the rails. I don't want to go lukewarm.
No, you're not going lukewarm.
No, well,
you're
going hot.
You're going old takes exposed.
I'm going
but not
hot.
Lukewarm.
That's fine. I get old takes exposed.
Wow.
So Oilers, Isle Stanley Cup, New York wins it, and McJesus is your Conn Smythe winner, putting on a show in a 7-game series.
So it does go the full seven?
It has to go the seven. Right. There you go. Give me yours. Give me your lukewarm Stanley
Wild
Cup.
Wild fans are going to hate this.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to give you a Stanley Cup Finals you are going to absolutely hate. You might not watch it. You'll be so pissed off. From the East.
The East.
Coming from the East.
The East.
Coming from the East Division.
That's right.
Which will be the group of death as far as the 2021 season is concerned.
The group of death. Yeah, it is.
It's a group of death.
It is. It's a gauntlet.
Chuck Fletcher's Philadelphia Flyers.
Oh, I like it. I almost
I
had
I like
them.
Philadelphia a lot.
Yep, me too.
I like Philadelphia a lot.
I like that.
Mike Yeo on the bench still, I believe.
Yeah.
Assistant coach.
Yeah. That's right.
Coming from the West. Yeah. coming from the West. If you didn't see it already, if you didn't figure it out from my previous elections, the Colorado Avalanche. So it's going to be Fletcher and the Flyers against Landeskog, McKinnon, and the Avs. And the Conn Smythe Trophy will not go to the Art Ross Trophy winner, Nathan MacKinnon.
Oh.
The Conn Smythe Trophy will go to Cale Makar.
All right.
Who is a dynamic, special player.
He is.
Who will drive, who will drive the offense from the blue line.
Yes.
Colorado over the Flyers. I'll say in six. In fact, I'll write that down right now. I'll say in six right now.
Write that down.
You like writing things down.
And you?
And Cale Makar wins the MVP of the playoffs.
All right. I like that, man.
All right, let's wrap up here with some rapid-fire predictions on individual NHL hardware.
Sure.
Postseason.
So I have, for the Norris,
mm-hmm.
I have, I'll be like you. I'll be like one of the your guys that you've been talking about all day, Cale Makar. Yep. I think Cale Makar wins the Norris.
I've got him, too.
He's a dynamic defenseman. I think he's damn good. He wins the Norris for me.
I've got him, too.
I'll run through mine here quick, actually. I'll just go through mine, then you go through yours.
Yep.
Vezina.
Yep.
I have Rob Leonard. I think Rob Leonard has another big year for the Vegas Golden Knights.
Interesting.
He's comfortable now, and he's obviously been through hell, literally.
And does Fleury play for them then?
I don't know, dude.
What's Fleury's role there?
I don't get that.
That's a weird. That's
no. There was talk the Wild were possibly
gotta be
interested.
Uncomfortable. Yeah.
But I think Leonard wins Vezina.
Okay.
All right. Your Calder Trophy winner. It's not Kaprizov, actually. And I think I can get this last name because I wrote down the pronunciation.
Yep.
It's the New York Rangers goalie Igor Shesterkin.
Yes, he's Shesterkin. Very good. He's
so
very
my
good.
Reasoning here is goalies can literally dictate the success of their team.
And the Rangers might be really good.
And the Rangers
good.
Might be good.
Yep.
They're in the division of death. But if the Rangers make the playoffs and make a decent
Shesterkin's
little run,
it's a good one.
He's gonna be probably the sole reason that happens.
Yes, and he's going to be.
He's gonna be the product of that success.
Yep.
I think he's your odds-on favorite to win the Calder.
I like it.
Jack Adams, Barry Trotz, obviously with the Islanders winning the Stanley Cup. I mean, that's just, you already should have known that after I gave my main insane hot take. Mm-hmm. So Trotz is your Jack Adams guy. And finally, your first coach fired. One of our favorite preseason Judd's Hockey Show topics. We always do this one. I love this one. Going with Mike Sullivan in the Pittsburgh.
Okay.
I think Pittsburgh is in trouble. They are in trouble.
And
the Heat is
if you're
on.
A Wild fan, that's fantastic.
That is good news.
Because you've got their first round pick no matter what they do.
Yes, that is good news. So those are my...
Okay.
NHL season awards.
Okay, mine. Norris, we're in lockstep.
Okay.
There are some good young defensemen. Hughes in Vancouver is fantastic, but I think Cale Makar is a dynamic player on a really good team.
Mm-hmm.
Good combination. Cale Makar wins the Norris, and I will say this, I think he wins it for the first time, but not the last time.
That's right.
I think he's going to win it a few times. I think he's that good. Vezina, I do not have your guy. I have instead my Stanley Cup finalist from the Eastern Division. Their starting goaltender, Carter Hart. He's good. He's legit. He's going to drive them as far as being their goaltender, I think, the majority of the time now.
Yeah.
Carter Hart wins the Vezina as the top goaltender. The Calder, this is a little bit of a weird one, but I saw this kid play in the junior tournament, and he was great for Germany. And he's going to play for the Senators, which is going to hurt him, but they also need help. So I think he's going to be key.
Okay.
Tim Stützle. So I think he's going to win the Calder.
I mean, it's the nicest way. Who's he playing for?
Senators.
Senators. Yeah,
yes.
Senators.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Senators. Boy.
Yeah, I think he is going to. He might get buried a bit because of where he's playing and the fact that I think they're the only team in that Canadian division without a chance to make the playoffs. But I think statistically he's going to be good. So Tim Stützle wins the Calder as the top rookie. Jack Adams, I'm not going with Jared Bednar with Colorado. Because I think Colorado's going
they're
to be so
to be
good that it's going to be held against him. Not fair.
Right.
But you rarely see a team that's supposed to be successful. And then that guy wins Coach of the Year. Mm-hmm. So my Jack Adams Award winner for 2021, Rod Brind'Amour in Carolina.
I like that one.
I think Carolina's going to be good.
I thought about that one, actually.
I think they're going to be good. I think he's a really good coach.
Yeah,
And the expectation is that they're going to be good, but I don't think it's that they're going to be great. So he falls into a really good place where if they're as successful as people think that they should be, he's going to get credit. I think Bednar's probably not going to get enough credit with the Avs because if they're good, of course they're good. They're a favorite. So I'm going to go with Rod Brind'Amour in Carolina.
I like that list, man.
And then first coach fired, with you completely.
Yeah, right?
It's Sullivan.
It has to be.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, when they got done with the bubble, I think the GM there, Rutherford, yeah, fired a couple of Sullivan's assistants and his boys, his guys, and basically brought in new assistant coaches, but it was a GM doing it to the coach.
Right.
Like, to me, that's the step before you basically say, oh, Mike, it's been fun, but you're gone now, too.
And I don't know.
So I think you're right.
I don't know what the situation is in that locker room. You know, Sid doesn't seem like
Zucker's
the kinda...
there, so don't worry about it. He's got it. He's got it perfect.
Yeah.
Jason's got it handled, okay?
Okay. I got you.
Yeah, I don't know. But I think that they are going to... I don't think they're going to be a playoff team in that division. They're in the East.
Yeah.
That's going to be really tough. So I think that they're going to... They might be the four, but I'm not going to be shocked if they're five or six because that division is just so stacked.
Yeah, it is. It's ridiculous.
So, yes, Mike Sullivan, the first guy out the door.
I wouldn't be shocked.
I'm curious, too, Dex. In a 56 game, pretty much you're playing constantly season. How many in-season coaching changes do you expect? Because there could be a pretty good case made that it's going to be tough. Because you play on Monday, then you're off on Tuesday, then you play on Wednesday. So there's not going to be, there's no bye week now. So there's not, I don't know that there's going to be time to make substantial coaching changes and get things to a place where the new guy can step in and have a pretty good chance to be successful.
It's going to be interesting because the Heat's just going to be on because it's basically a sprint.
Right, but are you going to fire people is my question.
Yeah, that's.
You're right.
I think another one to watch too, especially because there's this turmoil with what's going on in the locker room. I think Paul Maurice in Winnipeg's possibly in trouble too.
I've been saying that for 4 years.
Right.
Every year I say he's got to be in trouble. Yeah,
with Line A kind of throwing.
I'll give you one.
Fit. Okay,
I'll give you one because their division's tough and expectations are high. Montreal.
Yeah, that's a tough. Yeah, I can see
that. That Canadian division's going to be difficult. And I think that there's an expectation that it's going to be the Habs and Leafs duking it out for first place there. And I'm not positive. Okay. I'm not positive all the new pieces in Montreal are going to gel as quickly as people think. So I would not be surprised if they made a change. But again, I just go back to, I can't get my head around how quickly changes are going to be made. Because if you do it, it's not like there's, hey, 3 days off.
Yeah.
So, all right.
I like
Judd's
this.
Hockey Show predictions for the 2021 season, which starts tonight as we record this on Wednesday, and then the Wild on Thursday at 9 o'clock against the Kings. And before you complain about that, ladies and gentlemen, I remind you the Wild has been put into one of, if not the weakest division in hockey.
Final score prediction for tomorrow, for the opening night, I should say. Bad radio there.
4-2, empty net goal, Wild wins.
Okay. I will go 3-1, no empty net goal. Cam Talbot makes, 35 saves or so.
Kaprizov score?
Kaprizov. Yeah, I think Kaprizov scores. I'll go with, I'll go with a power play goal to start the game.
By?
Jared Spurgeon. How about that?
You're all on the Spurgeon
How about that?
Train there.
I love it.
All right, we're done, Dex.
Pass, shoot, score.